Hey there, I'm Verity Songon and this is the Confident CEO podcast, the show that takes you behind the scenes of starting and running your small or not so small business. We will cut through the misinformation and bad advice about starting and running a business and give you actionable tips and advice that you can implement to grow, scale and achieve your business goals. Let's dive in. Hello there, Kate. Welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to have you here for this episode. We are covering something that we've never covered on the podcast before, which is story coaching, which I am so excited about because I have to admit, I'd never actually heard of a story coach before. And I'm sure a lot of our audience has never heard of a story coach before. So yes, I'm so excited to dig into this episode. But before we do, I'm going to hand over to you. Please tell us who you are, what it is that you do, because you have got such an amazing, I've got your bio in front of me, but I want to hear it from you because you have just got such an interesting backstory and range of experiences in your career. So over to you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. So I'm a writer, really. So yeah, I do story coaching, I do content coaching, and book coaching, really. My background is that I'm a ex-features writer and section editor for magazines, and so I lived and breathed stories. You know, I told people's stories in the magazine, like ordinary people's stories. I interviewed celebrities and told their stories. So, kind of digging and uncovering people's kind of histories and sharing them in compelling and captivating ways is just basically what I'd always done. But we were talking before recording, but I've got two small children, and so I kind of left journalism because it's just not very compatible with, you know, being a mum and deadlines and all this kind of stuff. And so I set up my business, and originally I was just kind of teaching copywriting, then it kind of evolved into teaching content because obviously that's my background. And then I realized that story was the thing that everybody wanted to be able to tell their stories, but weren't really sure, you know, whether they had a story or which parts of their story were relevant. And so I started working with my clients a lot, trying to kind of unpick their stories and work out which bits were relevant and which bits were going to kind of really connect with their audiences. So that's what I do a huge amount of now. I'm really passionate about storytelling. I think it's one of the most powerful and empowering ways to communicate.
Definitely, because it comes back to that idea, isn't it? Is that whether or not you're selling a service or a product or whatever it is, what's the old saying is that people buy from people at the end of the day. So I would love, it's a huge question to ask straight away, but if somebody's thinking, do you know what? This has piqued my interest. I need to write my own story in terms of, you know, maybe it's on my about page or however it is that that's going to come across as content. Where do you even start with thinking about writing your story? I mean, do I go right back to when I was at nursery school and playing with Play-Doh and falling out with my friend Amy at the time? You know, because I think that's what a lot of people think story writing is literally saying, this is my autobiography in two paragraphs or what have you. So I would love to hear your take on that. Where do you start with writing your own story?
Well, falling out with Amy might be a story that you could tell one day, but it's perhaps not the story you're going to have on your about page. I think it is very overwhelming because, you know, get to a certain age and your life has a huge amount of occurrences. So I think what's worth remembering is that you don't just have a story. You know, we do have like an overarching story that's relevant to our business, but we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of stories. That's what our life is made up of, you know. So if you just think of it all like one big rope, and each story is a different strand, a different thread. And so the key with storytelling is pulling the right strand for the right moment. So I think people get a bit overwhelmed and think they're going to have to write an about page or they have to do a bio, and they just think, okay, right, I'm just going to share my CV. You know, I was born here, I did this, I got this qualification. Blah, blah, blah. And obviously, you know, sharing your CV isn't storytelling. It's not compelling. It's not captivating. You know, no one's going to remember you for that. And so it's about learning to pull the right thread for the right moment. And I've actually just written my book, Soul Story, go into more detail on how to do it. But essentially, if you're a business owner or there's something that you do in the world a message that you're trying to share, you definitely, I mean, you have lots of stories you can use. And I would like to say that it's really important that you don't just use stories that are directly related to your topic, because You're missing a trick if you do that. But essentially, on your homepage or your about page, you've got three stories that are going to be really useful for you. So you've got your founding story. So this is the story where, you know, one moment you didn't have an idea for a business, you were doing something else, you know, getting on with life, and then something happened and you're like, bam, this is what I want to do. And that's kind of like the essence of your founding story. And so if you're going to put that together, you just kind of work out, you think, okay, what was the moment that I came up with the idea for this business? What was I doing? What triggered it? You know, was it a conversation I had with a friend? Was it a YouTube video I watched? Was it just like a sudden, like, you know, light bulb moment? And then you think to yourself, okay, what led me to that? What were the series of events that led up to that realization? What was I doing before? What was my old life like? You know, so that's the beginning of your story. And then you ask yourself, okay, well, where am I now? What's the transformation? If you think every story is always about transformation. So you went from having no idea of a business, no, perhaps, corporate job, doing something you hated. And then you have this kind of light bulb moment, wham, bam, I think I'm going to do this. I'm going to, you know, help people with podcasting. And then you have, you know, the outcome, and that is your transformation. And now I run a successful business doing XYZ. I've helped hundreds of people do this. So that's essentially your founder's story. And now I have to say, generally, your founder stories isn't going to like set many hearts on fire. I mean, it's what it does is basically put you in context. You know, it kind of puts you in context. And so then there's another story which you might share on your about page, or you might incorporate with your founding story, which is your purpose story. So that's the other story that it's really important to dig in. And that, again, your purpose story is just one thread. It's not everything that's happened to you and got you to there. And I always think of this as it's kind of like your North Star story. It's the story that kind of explains why you do what you do. And this is really important because it lets people into your values. It lets people into, you know, we like people who share values, you know, our values. We like people who are kind of driven by something that resonates with us. And so, you know, your purpose story is very different from your founder's story, because, you know, none of us, if you're an entrepreneur, you don't become an entrepreneur just for the money. Because there are so many ways that you could make money, which would probably be far easier. You're doing it because it's a passion. There's something that pushes you to do this kind of work. It's a thing that, you know, it's why you get up at 5 a.m. and do 2 hours before the kids get up or whatever. And so digging into that purpose and figuring out, you know, what is the real reason that I do this is really important. And that's a really powerful story that you can share, you know, if you're doing a podcast interview, or if you were, you know, on your about page and stuff like that. And an exercise that I often will give people to help them dig into it. And if you've ever been in like corporate workplace training things, you might know it's called the five whys. Mm-hmm. And it's where you take one question and you ask, you know, so why did I start my business? And then you answer the question, and then whatever that answer is, you then ask why, and you carry on. And each time you peel back a layer, and usually you kind of get to the nub of it. And that's your purpose, and that's your purpose story. So, I mean, I won't go on, but you know, that's, do you see what I mean? Like your stories, there's lots of stories you have and lots of different angles. And it's just thinking, you know, what do I want this story to do? Who am I speaking to? And then you figure out what thread you're going to pull. And so that's how it's done. And it's once you know how, it's simpler than you realize, I think, because we're all natural storytellers.
Definitely. I love that so much. And I think that there are probably an awful lot of our listeners who have now heard that bit and are either going to go back and listen to it again, or are mentally making a note of, I'm just going to go and review my about page this evening, because I think there is so much goodness in there. And I love I love that you brought up as well about the five whys, and really just, it's such a nice, simple exercise to just peel back those layers. Because so often when, particularly if you're new in business, people will say, well, what is your purpose? What is it that you're doing and why? And you're a bit like, because I thought it was a good idea, or because I wanted to. But you know, that's not something you can write it. You can't just write on your about page, I'm doing this because I felt like it was a good idea. And I love that really simple exercise of just peeling back. And it's inner work, really, isn't it? Just to really get in contact and in touch with those inner feelings and those inner thoughts there. I'm going to pick up, though, you did mention that you have got your book out, which is so exciting because by the time this episode airs, your book will have been out about a week and a half. So tell us all about your book.
Yes, so it's, thank you so much. It's called Soul Story, How to Tell Stories That Call in Your Soul Tribe. And it's a very thin little book, actually. You could probably sit down and read it in a couple of hours. But it packs a punch because basically, because I've been teaching storytelling for a while, and I obviously have been telling stories for a very long time in my capacity as a writer and journalist and ghostwriter. But I learned a lot whenever I started my own business. I learned a lot about storytelling in the sense that I knew all the craft, I knew how to put a story together. But suddenly I realized that there is a difference between telling somebody else's stories in the capacity of a writer or a journalist, where you're speaking in somebody else's voice and you're sharing somebody else's story and it doesn't really matter, you know, it's fine, you just have to make it sound good, and then telling your story, which is terrifying and so vulnerable, and you feel like you're kind of stripping yourself naked for everybody to look at. And so I had done a lot of work around that myself. I'd done a lot of work around that with my clients, and I realized that, you know, storytelling is a hugely courageous act. And so I wanted to write a book that took you through the whole process. So there wasn't just about like, okay, you've got stories to tell and here's how you do it, wham bam. But I wanted to, you know, write a book that kind of helps you realize that A, we are all natural storytellers. We all have kind of an inner storyteller that's just waiting to be awakened, if it's not already. That we all have hundreds of stories to tell that people need to hear, that are going to be a really powerful way to frame our message and get our message heard and out there, but also to help people become storytellers, become the best storytellers they can be, and that giving them the courage and helping them realize that actually, you know, it's normal to think, actually, I don't want to put myself out there because I think I'm too boring and my stories aren't interesting enough, or I don't want to put myself out there because I'm worried about offending people or what my friends and family will think. These are all things that all of us think and feel. And hopefully what I do with the book is help you realize, reframe those fears and sabotages and realize that that's what they are, and to try and encourage you to get your story out there, because I feel really strongly that we need to be sharing our stories. You know, everybody has a platform these days, but not everybody has a voice. And I think your story is the essence of who you are. It's the thing that makes you unique. It's the thing that makes you stand out. You know, there are other business coaches or nutritionists or therapists or whatever. You know, they all do. You probably do a similar thing to lots of other people. But the thing that makes you unique is your experience, your past, your history, your worldview. And those are the things that make people attracted to you and magnetized to you. And I mean, there's so many other things to telling a story, which is really important. It can be cathartic, it can be healing for you, done in the right way. But yeah, so I just feel really strongly that I want to help people tell their stories. And so that's what the book is all about.
I love that so much. We're going to go back to storytelling in just a minute, but I want to ask you first, because they say, don't they, that there is a book in all of us waiting to, you know, come out and be written and what have you. And I'm sure a lot of people listening to this episode are in complete awe that you took that step and you didn't just think, I want to write a book, or went as far as writing the book and then leaving it as a Word document on your computer, but you actually got the book out there. How did you in your mind think, you know, this is what I'm going to do. I need to write this book and I need to get this out in a book format. How did that process look and that thought process look to you? I'm really intrigued.
Well, I'm somebody who's only ever wanted to write books. That's what I've wanted to do from very little. But I was very focused on fiction. And I always thought I'd be a fiction author, and then went into journalism. And then so I kind of ghostwritten other people's non-fiction books and memoirs, or I've edited them for them. So I kind of knew that I had the capacity to write an entire book. I knew because I'd done it. But I think there is a difference between coming up with your idea, picking the right one for the right moment and getting it out there. And I have to admit, I could have done it sooner. And what I did is I created a course on storytelling in 2021. And I put it out there and I loved it. But I kind of thought to myself, oh, it really should be a book. You really should be turning all of this stuff into books. And I think it just never occurred to me to write nonfiction books, because I'd always been so focused that I want to be a fiction writer. And then suddenly I thought, actually, I have so much to share that could go into nonfiction books. And we all do, as kind of experts in our field. You probably have 4 or 5 books in you that teach different aspects of your work or different things that you've learnt. But I did kind of drag my feet. And actually into early 2022, I just thought, I'm going to get it done. And I got the manuscript written in 3 months, and I got a second draft done. And then I put it away and pretended that I hadn't done it, because the fear came up massively. And I think we all have that, you know, you've created something and now you're going to hand this thing over for other people to see and criticize and judge. And that's terrifying. And I think I had it more so because, you know, I'm a writer, you know, I'm supposed to do it professionally. Like, what if it was rubbish? You know, what if people didn't like it? Which is, you know, they might not, but I'm sure there will be people who do like it. And I don't know why I was getting such fear. So actually what happened, this is going to sound very peculiar, but what happened is I turned 40. And for my 40th birthday, my sister bought me an astrological reading. And I went along to see this astrologer. And she said to me, she didn't know anything about me, she said to me, oh, 2023 is a really good year for publishing. And I was like, oh. And she went, you haven't written a book, have you? And I was thinking, yes. And so I thought, oh my goodness, that's just so too weird. So I just went home and I got it into production. And I decided to self-publish it myself. To self-publish, and I'd always kind of knew I would, because I wanted to get it out there. And you know, you can go, if your heart is on traditional publishing, which a lot of people are, because they feel that they need that endorsement, and I can understand that, but it takes so much time. It can take, even if you've got an agent immediately and you've got a publishing deal straight away, you know, you might not be in the publishing schedule for 2 or 3 years. And I want my book out now. I want people to start benefiting from now, from it now. And and also I'm quite a free spirit. I'm very independent in everything I do, and I think as entrepreneurs we are. And I'm fed up with the gatekeepers. And you know, you don't have to have a gatekeeper. You can publish it yourself, you can get it out there. It doesn't mean that you can't then later, I think Denise Duffield Thomas self-published Lucky Bitch, her first book, and then it was picked up by Hay House. So it doesn't exclude you from that possibility, but I think you've just got to back yourself and trust yourself and just know, write the best book you can right now and get it out there and get it out there and serving. And then you might find that you have an even better book that you can write after, and it's fine. There's no time limit on that. So that's my journey.
I love that so much. I love the fact that you've gone down the gone down the self-published route as well, because you're right. You know, the pros and cons to self-publishing or traditional publishing, and one might suit some people more than others. But the other thing that I absolutely love, because a lot of people, they'd be like, well, what do I write a book about? People say I'm an expert in my area, or I've got a lot of knowledge in my area. Where do I even start? I love the fact that you said you had this course, you had the content in the course, and you could see how that could move over into a book format. So I guess really it's anybody who's thinking, well, I want to write a book, I've got no idea where to start. It comes back to that, almost that content repurposing. Well, what have you already got? And I'm not saying take the course and literally just put the transcripts into, you know, a book script. Obviously, there's a whole process that goes through there. But it is thinking, what content is already there that could be repurposed, maybe added to, maybe some things taken out. But basically, what basics have you already got that you can then start bulking out or what have you to turn into an actual book? I love that.
Well, I mean, if you were do any kind of content marketing, you probably have so much material. It's just unbelievable how much you have there. And very often, unless you have a really powerful repurpose system going on, which I would recommend doing, you know, it has this very short shelf life. You know, it's like a mayfly. It's gone, and it's, you know, you put your heart into it and then suddenly it's gone. And that's the beauty of books. Obviously, you spend time really crafting something that's high quality, but there it is, and it's an authority builder. It gives you credibility, but it's going to keep on serving. I do group book coaching. I do private book coaching and group book coaching, and I've got 7 people on a program at the moment. And you know, one of the things that we did, you know, while figuring out, you know, what's the premise of your book, what's your kind of big promise, what's the transformation and everything that you're going to take your reader on, is to actually look at what have you got already. And it is not a case of just like pulling this blog post and whatever here, but you probably have the bones of your book already. You probably could pull something together into an extremely messy first draft, you know, just kind of in the right order. And then it's about going in and editing and crafting and shaping it. You know, you probably have a book. And I think the other thing to remember is, you know, the power of little books. I think there was this feeling that we have to write a book that's a certain length. But if you're familiar with Seth Godin, you know, his books are tiny, they're very little. And I think actually when you're writing in the kind of personal development or business arena, people aren't buying your book to sit down and curl up with a cup of tea and have a good read. They're like, I have a problem, I need it solved as quickly and efficiently and in a compelling way, of course, and in an entertaining way, but as possible. And so if it turns out that your book is only going to be 20,000-30,000 words, that's fine. And, you know, I reckon you probably, if you do any kind of content marketing, you could probably pull together 20,000-30,000 words from, you know, blog posts and stuff like that and craft it into a first draft.
That is, I think, probably some of the best advice ever about not worrying about the length of the book, and that if it is a smaller book, there's nothing wrong with that. Because I think you're right. I think, you know, we go into WH Smith or Waterstones or whatever, wherever we walk into, and we see these big, thick, fat volumes, and we think, well, we can't write anything shorter than that. But I completely agree with you. And you've actually just reminded me, I read a management book ages ago. It's called something along the lines of Who Moved My Cheese? And it's all about these two mice. And do you know the book I mean?
It's
a brilliant book about management. But it's really small. And I was actually quite shocked because it was a friend who lent it to me. And she goes, you've got to read this book. It's a really good book about management. It'll, you know, completely transform the way that you manage staff and teams, because I was heading up a team at the time. She was like, you know, it'll completely change how you view this. And I was there thinking, yeah, lend it to me, whilst also thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to find like a few weeks to get through this thick volume. That anyway, she gives it to me, and it's, oh, I don't know, maybe like, it's not even a centimetre thick. I can't remember how many pages it is. But honestly, I read it in about an hour and a half, something like that. And it only took me so long because there were some really interesting bits that I went back over, because I was like, oh, I want to reread that section. That's interesting. But it really brings home what you're saying, that you don't need to be writing like a 500 page novel in order to produce a book, which is actually what people want and also what people need. I think that's really, really powerful for anybody who is thinking, I've got a book in me, but it's not going to be the size of the fourth Harry Potter book. But, you know, the point is that if you want to have a book as part of your brand, as part of your business, it is so, so achievable. And as you said, you know, you've probably got the bare bones of something, you know, around that. I absolutely love that. To go back to your book though, because I'm really keen to talk about your book, where can people find it if they are thinking, do you know what, I really want to find out more about storytelling, about how I can tell my story in an effective way? Where can we find your book?
Thank you so much. So my book at the moment is available on Amazon, so you can get it in Kindle or you can get it in print. Pretty much anywhere in the world you can get copies. I am setting up a Shopify store, so you can eventually buy direct from me, which that's a work in progress at the moment. So at the moment, if you want it right now, Amazon is the place to get it. So thanks.
Perfect. I'm going to have the link in the show notes as well. So anybody who is interested in that, as you said, you can... Amazon's amazing these days, isn't it? That you just click on one link and you can ship anything globally. So yes, if you are interested in that, then do definitely check that link out. And also when you've got the Shopify, we'll get that linked in the show notes as well. So then you've got that. Everybody's got that direct link for anyone listening to the episode in the future. I think this has been such an amazing episode. We have covered so, so much goodness here. What I would like to ask you as a final question, though, is if anybody takes away just one bit of advice from, or one top tip from this episode, what would you like it to be?
I think it is understanding that we all have a story to tell. And we probably have many stories to tell. And if there's something that's holding you back from sharing your story, I want you to remember that, you know, you have a story that could change somebody's life. You have a story that somebody is waiting to hear that they can only hear from you, and with a message that they can only hear from you. And so if you feel drawn to storytelling, if you feel drawn to sharing your story, don't hold back. Just start today, because it is, it's powerful and it's empowering. And I really think your stories can change people's lives.
I love that so much. Thank you so much, Kate, for joining us. And yes, anybody who is interested in reading Soul Story, as I said, it is now available on Amazon. So do check that out. Kate, thank you so much for joining us on today's episode. It's been fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed myself.
Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Confident CEO podcast. Before you go, I would absolutely be overjoyed if you could take just 2 minutes to leave me a review in Apple Podcasts. Reviews are a great way to tell Apple Podcasts how much you enjoyed the show, and it helps the algorithm to push out the podcast to more people, thereby helping us to help empower even more badass businesswomen to grow their inner CEO and grow to be the confident CEO of their business that they can be. I love to shout you out in your reviews as well. So you never know, you might be hearing your name on the podcast in the next episode. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.